Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. I'm sure all of you remember that this is the same text that I preached on last week. And we spoke specifically about prayer. I've decided to stay in this text this week because we're having a congregational meeting this afternoon. And in this text, what we find is the priorities of our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. Now, because the church is a continuation of the ministry of Christ on earth that he, through his Holy Spirit, works through us, the priorities of our Lord in his ministry should be the priorities of our own ministry at CBC. So with that as background, then let's hear the word of God, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next town, that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." And they went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. In Mark chapter 1, Mark gives us a summary of those things that were the chief characteristics of our Lord's ministry. And we find those three things right here in this passage, which I am calling the priority of Christ's ministry and which must be the priorities of our ministry as well. Those three priorities, first we see the ministry of prayer in verse 35. What was Jesus doing when Peter found him? He was praying. The second priority is the ministry of the word. Peter, when he told Jesus that everyone was looking for him, Jesus responded by saying in verse 38, "Let us go to the next town that I might preach there also. That is why I came out." And then in verse 39, Mark summarizes what Jesus did throughout the towns of Galilee by saying he preached in their synagogues, the second priority, and he cast out demons. And I'm going to describe that third priority as a ministry of mercy, that is overcoming evil with good. And so these are the three priorities of our Lord's ministry, and they should be the three priorities of Crescent Valley Church. Now, what jumped out at me is this of this text is what was not a priority of our Lord. And I see two priorities from this text that were not priorities that our Lord had. And the first of those things which were not our Lord's priority was our Lord did not make popularity his priority. The Lord did not make popularity his priority. If he did, he'd have said, "Oh, everyone's waiting for me, then I need to go see my adoring audience." But what does he do? He says, "I must go on and preach elsewhere." Now, it is true that Jesus drew multitudes, but that was a byproduct of the fact that he continued to stay focused on the priorities that he'd been given by the Father to do. Now, too many churches get this backwards. They make popularity of first importance, hoping that the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word, and the ministry of mercy will flow from that. But it never does. How do you know if you're a church that's most concerned about popularity and not these priorities in ministry? Well, that is if you're most concerned about numbers. If you're most concerned about what's put in the plate on Sunday and not what's in the heart of your people and how they're living on Monday. Now, I must confess that when someone asks me how Crescent Valley Church is doing, I'll often say that we had, well, this many people in church on Sunday. Or I'll say, "Did you know we had 39 people join Crescent Valley Church last year?" But those are not the measure of what we are doing as a church. The Lord did not make popularity his priority because he knew, as we should know, that popularity like fashion means one day you're in and the next day you're out. The second thing that was not a priority of our Lord is our Lord did not allow the desires of people to determine his purpose. The Lord did not let the desires or wishes of others determine what his purpose was to be. You see, people had plans for Jesus. They had his day all scheduled out. They were pushing him into what they wanted him to do. But he did not let others determine his priority. He did not have focus groups to determine what he should say or what he should do. He was focused on these three priorities: the ministry of prayer, the ministry of word, and the ministry of mercy. Now, the only way you can avoid letting people determine what you're going to do is that you don't make popularity a priority. Because whenever popularity is a priority, you ask, what do the people want? Now, this does not mean that we should never ask the question, what are the times in which we are ministering? What are the needs of the people to whom we are ministering? And what is the best way to speak to that group of people? Those are all important questions, but those are secondary questions, secondary to the priorities that our Lord has laid out for us. Now, the reason that we don't make people's preferences is a priority is because our hearts are antithetical to the gospel. You see, what we want without Christ are things that he does not want for us. We want to amass and the Lord calls us to give. We want to be comfortable, but our Lord calls us to sacrifice. We want to hold on to life, but our Lord calls us to lose our life for his sake. We want to love ourselves, and the Lord calls us to love others. You see, the gospel goes against all our intuitions, doesn't it? Think back on before you became a Christian. Do you ever remember laughing at the gospel? Laughing at what Jesus said was best for us? Thinking, you got to be crazy. That's ridiculous. But then you met the Lord Jesus Christ and your life was changed, particularly your value system. And what did you learn? You learned that the things that you most wanted in life without Christ were not the things you needed most. And that you had gotten those things backwards. That's why we don't put the desires of others ahead of the priorities that Christ has given to us. Now, what's fascinating to me is you don't have to guess what Jesus' ministries are. Priorities are. They are perfectly clear because he's doing them all the time. There are things that he does not just talk about. Now, organizations and people have a problem, don't we? And that is that we'll state what our priorities are, but our actions, the way we spend our time, the way we spend our resources, the way we deploy our people, don't reflect those priorities that we're supposed to have as an organization. You can always tell what your priorities are just by tracking your time, your interest, and your resources. And you'll find out what your priorities are, even if you say, well, you know, I don't really have any priorities. Yes, you do. But what you need to do is you need to take them out of the implicit part of your mind and bring it into the explicit part of the mind and see if your life is in line with what the Lord is calling you to do as his followers. You know, this year, your elders and I, we want to do a better job of articulating what the priorities of Crescent Valley Church are. We want to make sure that we align our time, our energy, our resources, our staffing with what we believe the Lord is calling us to do. And our prayer and desire is that Crescent Valley Church will, in all of its ministries, reflect these three priorities: ministry of prayer, ministry of the word, and ministry of mercy. But we want them to be more than just priorities. We want them to be the passion of our heart. Now, not only does our Lord have three priorities, he also has three different groups that he calls us to serve. We have three priorities: prayer, the word, and mercy. But we're called to serve three different groups of people. The first is our Heavenly Father. The second are those inside the church. And the third is those outside the church. Now, the Lord is always first, isn't he? Because our chief end, our ultimate goal in life is to enjoy God. No, we got that backwards. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Very important that you don't get those two things backwards. Because if you're enjoying him before you're glorifying him, you're not enjoying him or yourself. You are to glorify God and enjoy him together. We're called to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And so we serve him in the ministry of prayer, in the ministry of the word, in the ministry of mercy. But by putting him first doesn't mean you neglect others. Because what usually happens is we play God off all these other groups. We say, well, I'm meant to serve God. And what we end up doing is what the Pharisees did. In that they use a theological excuse to hide their disdain for their fellow man in love for God. And what's the parable that best demonstrates that we're all capable of doing that very thing? It's a parable of the Good Samaritan, isn't it? Showed that these priests and Levites didn't love God because they didn't love their neighbors. You see, the Bible tells me that to love God is to love our neighbor. There's not a contradiction there. The Bible tells me that how can I love God? How can I say I love God who I have not seen when I hate my brother who I have seen? Jesus tells me that if I do this to the least of these, I've done it unto him. And so to love our neighbor is to love God. There's never a choice between loving God and loving your neighbor. To do one is to always do the other. Nor should there ever be a choice between serving those inside the church and serving those outside the church. Now, we have to be careful because churches can become ingrown very quickly. They can become self-serving. You see, churches are just like individuals. And you know that as a Christian, you can be a self-serving Christian. You can live the Christian life for yourself. You can live your Christian life in such a way that you want God to serve you. And so you just tip your hat to him a little bit so that he will do what you want him to do. And when we come together as a body, if we're all self-centered Christians, what we produce is a self-centered church. Now, there's a very difficult problem in getting a church to admit that it's self-centered because they hide their selfishness behind theological and pietistic reasons. But in reality, you're just living for yourself. So the best way to determine if you're living for yourself or not is how are we serving the community? Is this third area, are we serving those outside the church well? In fact, I would suggest that if you want to measure the health of Crescent Valley Church, you measure that health not by how many people are here on a Sunday morning, but the impact of us on the community in which we worship the rest of the week when we're out in the world. You see, if God is being glorified in our lives, if we are serving one another well, guess what's going to happen in the community in which we're found? That community will change. That community will be transformed. And so really the only objective way to measure the effectiveness of the ministry of any church is to measure the result of what's happening outside its walls as we interact with a larger world. You know, you'd never let your children grade their own test, would you? But yet so often that's what we do when we measure ourselves by how well we're loving God and how well we're loving one another. The real measure is how well we are serving those outside the church. And are we seeing individuals in our community come to faith in Jesus Christ? And do we see any impact of the community being transformed? So when we serve God and serve one another and serve our communities, God is most glorified. Now, not only do we see that we are to serve these three groups, the most effective way we serve these three groups is in the three priorities of our Lord's ministry is through prayer, the ministry of the word, and mercy. How do we worship God? Prayer, word, and mercy. How do we encourage and love one another? Prayer, word, and mercy. How do we serve the outside world? Prayer, word, and mercy. Now, to do this, we need all three. A healthy church must have all three, just like a three-legged stool must have three legs. Now, you can sit in a broken three-legged stool. You can sit on a broken three-legged stool, can't you? But you have to be what? Very careful. Or stupid. Because you know what, eventually, you may not be sitting at all. In the same way, you can drive a car that has one cylinder that doesn't function. It will run, but it won't run well. Our goal is that should be that all of these ministries function all the time in each of these three ways. Now, I also see from our text that there is an implicit order of importance in these ministries. That is, prayer is first. Prayer provides a foundation. Then the word. The word provides growth and guidance. And then mercy is the application of the gospel as we apply it to one another's lives. And these three priorities are not simply fulfilled in our church by the running of programs. If we were to start a Wednesday night prayer meeting, have Sunday worship, and had a mercy commission, we could not say that, well, our priorities are the Lord's priorities. These priorities are to undergird and flow through every program that the church engages in. So that every program is, its purpose is for us to pray and to teach and to show mercy to others all across the board. And that's what every one of our programs should be about. So let's look briefly at each one of these. Prayer. Prayer is first directed to God. And that prayer first directed to God is first praise and thanksgiving. Too often when we go to prayer to God, we quickly get to what? Our request. as if prayer were only asking God for things. But no, prayer has a much more important purpose. We are to praise and give thanks to God. We are to give him honor and glory, and that's what worship is all about. Now, you might be saying, why does God need praise? Does God need your praise? Is he some narcissistic being that just needs you to keep telling him how wonderful he is? No. He needs his praise because you need to know and understand who he is. And when you praise God and give him thanks, you are recognizing who he is and what he's done for you, which is vitally important. And so we give a lot of time to prayer and praise, and then we need to give time to listen. To listen in prayer, and that God will guide you, not with an audible voice, but through thoughts, through directions, through circumstances. He uses all those things to guide us. Now, as we pray and as we recognize what God has done for us, that'll give us a hunger for the word. Not only are we to pray that to the first direction to God, but we're also to pray for one another. We saw in the ministry of Christ last week that Christ interceded for us. And so one of the things we do is we need to be praying for one another. Now, last year we gave out a pictorial directory. And we gave out a pictorial directory is not so you'll come to know everybody in the church and have their phone numbers. We gave out the pictorial directory so you can pray for one another. And we want you to use that directory in your prayer time. Just open up and begin to pray for the people in the book. And you might say, well, I don't know those people. Did you know you don't have to know those people to pray for them? And you say, well, how do I know what they need? Well, you just pray for the things you need. You probably got them covered too. And you might say, hey, I know that person. And go speak to them and say, you know, I prayed for you this week. You will know that the elders get together often on Wednesday morning and we pray. And many Wednesday mornings, each elder has his shepherding list and we pray through that list. And we hold you up in prayer. And so we need to be praying for one another, interceding in our prayers. Prayer also needs to be made for the outside world. Prayer also needs to be made for the outside world. I am so embarrassed by the response of so many people to this last election. Either your person lost and you thought the world is lost, or either your person won and you thought the world was won, that everything would be great. And you forgot that there's someone else in charge. That it's not the candidate who was elected or the candidate who wasn't elected. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that instead of being so upset and worried, pray. Intercede. Ask God to stir the hearts, to guide the hearts of the king like water in his hands. Proverbs 21:1. We need to be praying and interceding for our world, not posting our distrust and dislike on Facebook. Then they need to get in. No. And when we pray and intercede for the world, you know what's going to come over you? Calm. Because you realize that God's got this world in his hands. And we can rest assured that he's watching over us. And that he's taking care of us. And so we should be grateful. Second, we have the ministry of the word. Now, there is a Godward dimension to scripture. You see, we make the mistake of thinking that the book, the Bible, is a book of instructions. It's a book of instructions on how to live. But here's our problem. Do you like reading instructions?
No.
What? Well, you are putting together a model, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. But the rest of us, we don't like instructions. But then the Bible's not a book of instructions. The Bible is a story. The Bible is a story of the creator of the universe and how he's involved in our lives and the history of this world, what he has done and what he is doing. And in this story, we discover the beauty, the marvelous nature of his character, his grace, and his goodness so that we might come to love him and serve him and worship him. And through Jesus Christ, we become what we worship and we become like him. So that is the Godward direction of the importance of the ministry and the word. But there's also an indispensable ministry of the word among or that we do for one another. You see, in our worship services, we read scripture, we sing scripture, we preach scripture, we encourage one another daily with scripture. The word is made real to us through visible signs of the sacraments. And these visible signs of the sacraments, word is Jesus Christ, is his presence is made real to us through water, wine, and bread. This is why the word is the primary means of grace. It is through God's word, as it gets down into our heart, that his grace becomes a fertile ground for faith to grow in us and for our lives to be changed. But there's also a ministry of the word to the world. You see, the word is to be ministered to the world was the last command that our Lord gave us. In Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have commanded you. The ministry of the word. In Luke, as he's teaching his disciples, after his resurrection, he says that repentance and the forgiveness of sin should be preached to all nations. You see, we are to be like the Christmas angel. A little tip of my hat to Advent by throwing something in for the Christmas story. We are to be like the Christmas angel. We are to announce that today is born in Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we are to announce that this Savior died on a cross in Jerusalem and has ascended into heaven, and he welcomes all to come to repent of their sins and to embrace him. Now, in the third priority of our Savior is the ministry of mercy. That is overcoming evil with good. The ministry of mercy, overcoming evil with good. The ministry of mercy, how do we direct that to God? Can we show God mercy? No, this is the one thing where God shows mercy to us. And this is important because because the Bible makes it clear the only way we can be merciful people is if that we have first received mercy. The only way we can be people that love others if we've first been shown love. The only way we can forgive in a divine way is if we have been forgiven by Christ. And so as God shows mercy to us, we in turn show mercies to others. Now, this is why it's so important that so much of our prayers be filled with praise and thanksgiving, and that we don't read the Bible as a book of instructions, because they'll teach us just who this God of grace is that we serve, so that we will be gracious to all that we meet. So we who have been shown mercy from him will be able to show mercy to others. The second area, we need to be a community that shows grace and mercy to one another. And the church should be this free interchange of grace and mercy, not because we're nice people and we do nice things for one another. You know, non-Christians can be nice to nice people. It's only in the church we're called to be nice to naughty people. And you have to admit that you're a naughty person to be part of the church, that you get things wrong. So expect a lump of coal in your stocking this Christmas. But in the church is that place where the promises of the gospel are made real. Where you know how much God loves you because we love you. We know how much God has forgiven you because we forgive you. We know how gracious God is to you because we're gracious to you and you are gracious to us. And that is what the church needs to be. But mercy also needs to be shown to the outside world. And it needs to be shown that there is a real difference between the church and the world. And nowhere is that difference more distinct, not in our behavior, but in our showing of mercy to people who don't deserve it. And that's what grace is all about. You see, we need to make the gospel come alive in the way we treat those all around us. And nowhere should that be more clearly seen in how the church interacts with the world. Now, we're called not just to tell people about the gospel, but then give them a taste of the gospel in the ministry of mercy. The ministry of mercy is overcoming evil with good, and it's the fruit of the gospel in our lives. Now, I think it's very important that we never think of this third area, ministry of mercy, as our job is to destroy evil. And the reason why that's so important is because if you believe that your job is to destroy evil, what you will become is evil in your methods to destroy evil. You will become more evil than the evil that's in the world. And the history of the church is replete with that type of evidence, isn't it? That when men of good intention hopefully, set out to destroy evil, they became evil themselves and they ended up destroying the testimony of Christ's church. No, we want to overcome evil with good, and that will keep us from becoming evil ourselves. Now, excuse me, I lost my place. As soon as I find it, I'll get back to you. These three priorities, we see at work in the early church. We understand that the disciples got this teaching of Jesus Christ because we see it in the book of Acts, in the church in Jerusalem. What were they doing on the day of Pentecost? They were gathered together to pray. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did the Holy Spirit do? It compelled them out in the church to preach. When they preached, people were converted, and when the people were converted, they began to show mercy to one another. They sold what they had, and they shared that with one another. They showed mercy to the outside world. John and Peter healed the lame man as they went into the temple. They got that they had a ministry and priorities of the prayer, the word, and mercy. Now, nowhere is this made more clear than in Acts chapter 6. That the early church understood these three priorities in its ministry. If you have your Bibles open, turn to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, the church has a problem. There are two groups within the church. One is the Hellenistic speaking church, Jewish church. The other is the Hebrew speaking Jewish church. These were Jewish people from two different backgrounds, two different cultures, living together in one larger church. And the Hebrew people, the Hellenistic people came to the apostles and complained that their widows were not being taken care of properly in the distribution of food. There was no welfare. If widows had no family and no children, they starved. The church embraced these people and served them. It was a ministry of mercy. And the elders realized how important this was, the apostles, and so they called the church together and said, we need to make sure that this ministry of mercy is being properly cared for and overseen, and so we want you to elect people who will make sure that the distribution of food is done properly and equitably. And so they elected seven men to do just that. Now look with me at verse chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. It said, you know, you elect these men to carry on that mercy ministry. And what do they say? But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so here we see these three priorities of our Lord lived out in the life of the church in Acts. The result of this we find in Acts 2:47. It says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But these priorities are not just priorities for the church at large. They're priorities for you as an individual. And we see that in the life of Stephen. Stephen was a man of mercy. That's why he was the first name mentioned in the list of those who were called to serve. And by the way, it's interesting, when the church elected people to make sure the Greek women were being taken care of the way they should be, they elected seven men who all had Greek names. Isn't that interesting? They said, okay, you take, you know, you be responsible to make sure everything's treated equally. So Stephen, the first of these seven, was a man of mercy. But what do we see in Luke 7? We see him preaching, and we see him praying, and we see him dying, because he is the first martyr. He's martyred in that chapter. Who do we see in Stephen? Who does he remind you of? Thank you. Who said that? Good job, Naomi. We see Jesus in him, my friends. Do you want people to see Jesus in you? Give yourself to the ministry of prayer, the word, and mercy. And pray that the priorities and passion of Crescent Valley Church will be the priorities and purpose of our Lord. A ministry of prayer, a ministry of the word, a ministry of mercy for the glory of God, for the edification of believers, and as our witness to the world. Let's pray.